Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and have conversations with people in the arts. I am Karin Merix, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, cultural philosopher, teacher, and mentor. Mastery is the slowest, hardest path in the world, and the only one worth taking. Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being, episode 107. Today, I want to share some thoughts on mastering the arts. As a classically trained artist and a classically trained musician, I know what this means. It is all about hours of practice, passion, and dedication. Time spent alone in the studio or at your instrument. Honing skills, training your hand-eye coordination, and building muscle memory. For a musician, this might also be breath control, embouchure, or posture. For a visual artist, it's sketching and painting from life, learning to see shapes, values, and shadows, mastering your materials, understanding scale, light, shadow, color theory, and brush techniques. Mastery comes from knowledge, observation, and repetition. So why this episode? Let me tell you a story. Recently, I spoke with someone who said that classical concerts, the tickets, are way too expensive. And I looked at him and said, "Are you aware how incredibly much work has gone into every musician that you listen to bring their stunning capabilities on stage for you? If you even consider how much training and dedication and resilience go into that to make it look as if it is easy, you could be very grateful if those tickets are not way higher." So he paused. Then quietly said, "Gosh, I never thought about it that way. You're absolutely right. I will think about that next time when I buy a ticket." As a teacher, I see this often. Students who are talented or eager to advance sometimes break down when confronted with the sheer effort required to truly master an instrument or an art form. For visual art, it's exactly the same. It takes practice, practice, practice. And in a world chasing instant gratification and quick results, the slow, deliberate cultivation of skill is undervalued. True artistry comes from persistent effort, day after day. From the patience to tell a story with your work. On my desk sits a quote. "The magic you are looking for is in the work you are avoiding." Ouch. Because every time I see it, I recognize my own resistance. We're human. But it also reminds me that mastery is only achieved through effort, even when we don't feel like it. Training skills, mastering the arts, is deeply fulfilling, scientifically beneficial for our brains, and profoundly rewarding in itself. I see mastery every day in my series Exceptional Female Musicians. When I painted Janine Jansen performing Sibelius Concerto, I captured a musician completely united with her instrument and the music. Saul Gabetta, currently on my easel, embodies the same mastery, subtlety, strength, and poetic expression. These women are living examples of what years of dedication and skill look like. But beyond the sheer joy and fulfillment of mastering a skill, science has shown us that there are profound benefits for our brains and our bodies. Engaging deeply in music or visual arts isn't just enriching, it physically shapes the brain. Neuroplasticity research shows that practicing an instrument or learning to paint strengthened neural pathways, improves connectivity between the two hemispheres, and even enhances areas associated with attention, memory, and emotional regulation. Studies reveal that skilled musicians, for example, have increased gray matter density in motor, auditory, and visual spatial regions. Similarly, artists who regularly engage in observational drawing or painting show enhanced fine motor control and visual spatial reasoning. Even the act of persistent, focused practice, what we call deliberate practice, trains the brain to form stronger executive networks. It's not just your technique that improves, but your ability to focus, to problem solve, to think creatively, and to regulate emotions. These all benefit. And it's so important in today's world. In other words, mastering a craft is literally exercising your brain, making it more flexible, more resilient, more capable of insight. And this is why the hours of dedication, the repeated practice, the boring work, which I don't ever find boring, are actually gifts to your mind and your well-being. This brings me to the importance of art in our lives. Science and books like Your Brain on Art, This Is Your Brain on Music, and The Aesthetic Brain show how deeply our brains benefit from artistic engagement. I also want to share passages from Dr. Ian McGilchrist's The Matter with Things, Our Brains, Our Delusions, and the Unmaking of the World. I'm currently reading this book. It's massive, and I'm not nearly halfway. But there is this chapter about creativity, and I want to share this. And I highly recommend reading his work. Creativity is such an elusive phenomenon that one has to be creative oneself in how to approach it, since it can't be summoned at will, and the very act of attending to it inhibits it. Creativity is a rare trait. This is presumably because it requires the simultaneous presence of a number of traits, for instance, intelligence, perseverance, unconventionality, the ability to think in a particular way. None of these traits is especially rare. What is quite uncommon is to find them all present in the same person. In discussions of creativity, not enough attention is paid to the obvious fact that there are different temporal stages to the process, the second way in which we might attempt an analysis. Where they have been noted, they have sometimes been described as preparation, incubation, and illumination. A further step of verification is sometimes added, though this is, strictly speaking, not itself creative any more than quality control. It creates the products of which it subsequently controls the quality. The first of these phases, preparation, is partially conscious and partially unconscious, partly willed and partially serendipitous, and may go on for years. It is generally associated with some pretty hard work, acquiring skills and knowledge, thinking consciously and mulling things over unconsciously, so as to prepare the fertile ground in which the seed can grow. The second phase, incubation, is unconscious and not under voluntary control. It can be impeded by conscious effort and introspection, much as it does a plant no good to keep digging it up to see how its roots are growing. And the third phase, illumination, flowers out of unconsciousness, quite suddenly, again unwilled, and is effortless and accompanied by feelings of pleasure, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Insight is effectively the third phase of creativity, considered in isolation. It's the so-called light bulb moment. You can't make creative act happen. You have to do certain things, otherwise it won't happen. But it won't happen while you are doing them. They create the terms on which the thing will arise. It's a question of how we dispose our consciousness. That is, how we attend. So for me, reading McGilchrist is like reading a map of my own creative experience. A mastery is the foundation. The light bulb moments, they come only after years of preparation and often in silence or walking or showering or meditating. So, my listeners, mastery is the root of happiness. Mastery is the root of fulfillment and even success. So now I have something new I want to share with you all. Because decades of de-skilling have made people crave quick hacks instead of skill. I've invested time and resources into building Brushstrokes of Being Studio. And by the end of November, the full program will launch. For now, mini courses on color theory are available. The school will offer a structured step-by-step learning experience, and it also includes art history and cultural philosophy, the storytelling in art, finding your why, and how to be an artist entrepreneur, and much, much more. It has become my mission, a possible antidote to unhappiness in the world. Now, suppose you're ready to begin your journey. In that case, you can join the waiting list for the full launch, or explore the mini courses on color theory. The first one, History of Color, is free. And then we have the pigments, temperature, harmony, family palettes, skin colors, etc., etc. It's about 5 mini courses. But you can start there developing your skills today. I will place all the links in the show notes. I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.